Welcome to In Divine Flow, your podcast for conscious mompreneurs. And today I have my very first podcast interview guest. And it's, ta-da, my sister. You might know her from our podcast that we've been running for nearly 7 years for Prana Up Your Life. And today we come together for In Divine Flow and we're going to talk about intuitive motherhood. And I'm very, very happy that she's even with me here on Crete, visiting us from Australia. And you are about to listen to a very powerful talk that we're going to have together. So welcome, Josie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here on your new podcast. I mean, we had like tons of interviews already and podcast episodes together, so this is new. It's a first in English, so
yes,
let's see how we go, because usually we speak in German together.
Maybe it will be a mix, let's see. Yeah. So you've been a mom for nearly five six months now.
Five and a half, nearly six.
And I'd love to talk about a little bit how you use your intuition when it comes to motherhood. Is that does that come easily to you? Do you have tools? Where's maybe the where it's a bit off sometimes? Yeah, let us in.
I think it depends, for sure. Like, I'm a person who likes to talk to other people about what she is experiencing. So I would say I have a mix of following my intuition, but also seeking for help, seeking for guidance with other moms. Also not only other moms, but also my partner, Johannes. And but I always can feel where my intuition goes, especially when it comes to sleep. I mean, in the first few months, everything is about sleep. Mostly.
And eating.
Eating and sleep and pooing.
Yeah.
So but sleep is such a main thing in the beginning. So I always feel into what he needs. Like, I have a son, so it's a he. And I can feel what is, if he is needing some sleep or not. And so that's where I follow my intuition. But sometimes I seek for reassurance. And then I ask my partner, like, do you think he's sleepy or tired? And it's so hilarious because I actually know the answer, but it's just maybe it's just also a partner thing, because I want to include him and I just don't want to be like this person who's like, no, he's tired and I'm putting him to bed now. Because I also want him to
give him a vote.
Yeah, and seek for the signs also, like to teach him to get to know the signs of our son when he's tired. So that we are partners in that regard. But yeah, I think I still know when he's tired, and that's the mom intuition, I guess, and hungry, and whatever he needs.
But I also feel like, I mean, I've only met him now for a week, nearly a week. And I think he's also very clear in his signs. Like, it's maybe like the noise he's made, or like he's very easygoing and then something is off. And then it's like, oh, okay, I think he, you know.
It's so true, yeah.
And I think that's not the case with every child. It's so
probably
different.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you are going out there and seeking for reassurance and you like that, have you had a moment where you felt like the other person, or maybe even doctor, or I don't know, advice from a book or online, was something you would have answered differently? And then what did you do?
So I have a few mom friends, and I would say these are my people I'm talking to, and maybe not only seeking for reassurance, but also sharing. I think, yeah, sharing is something I really like, and talk about it, because I can, when I talk about it, then it sometimes it's getting real, and I have that for forever now. Like, always when we had our podcast interviews or writing about something, I have this deeper integration. Also, when I say something, then I can feel, ah, yeah, that
that feels right, or sometimes it feels wrong.
When you speak loud, speak it out loud, then your intuition says, this is it. No, this is not.
So that is my like personal way of working through something and getting a deeper level or next initiation. Also, like, it doesn't need to be big, but also like in the really, really small moments. And of course, when you talk to other people and other moms, they have different approaches, they have different experiences, they have just it's good that they are different. And then I feel, it's good to talk about it, but this is not my way. And I think I don't have any example where I just did it after I heard something. Maybe sometimes on Instagram I can see something and then it's like, oh yeah, my baby sleeps through the night like 3 months, and I'm like, interesting. And then, you know, there comes like these 5 tips you have to follow. And I'm always like, oh yeah, maybe I can integrate them. And then the next moment I'm like, it's probably not your way. And also, I'm very, I want to give him a lot of safety because of my nervous system background. I know that it's super important to give the baby a lot of safety so that their nervous system can evolve even into a very, into a nourishing and flowing, flowering person and or a system, and that I want to give him the co-regulation that he needs, and my body and my breathing can do that. So that's just the most amazing thing, I guess, to witness that you can actually co-regulate another human being. And I experienced that, of course, in my breathwork practices, but with other people. But having that like little teeny tiny baby whose nervous system is so fragile, and you can actually regulate that in, I don't know, 2 seconds when you pick him up and breathe, and it's just most amazing thing. So and totally got a
I think it's I think it fits very well, because what you often see on Instagram is like so strange tips, like, I'm out of this baby's sleep Instagram rhythm already. But I remember
the algorithm is
my algorithm is with a toddler tantrum, whatever you do then thing. But when it comes to sometimes such like, you know, give them a banana and they will sleep, I'm like, are you freaking real? And they, I think what's missing is what you're saying right now. It's the most basic things, like the co-regulation through breathing, just body contact or humming, or, and that's so, maybe it's even so normal to us, especially mothers, I don't know, that it's not a hype to talk about it, you know what I mean?
But also I can see that there are some things I actually, like, I never thought about, and I never felt the thing I'm thinking about an example, but sometimes like experience from other parents can also help what I can see, because the business partner of my husband, he has like 5 girls, so they have a lot of experience, and not that I say like, okay, 100% I want to do that like they do, but some things are just very relatable, and then I try them, and if they work for me, then I can do that like more often, or if I feel like, no, that's not my style, I can just let it go. So there's a very fine line, I guess. But I trust obviously more the people in my surroundings rather than Instagram. But here's some things on Instagram I was like, interesting. And I didn't know that it was even possible. So, you know, that was what I mean with a fine line. Not that I, you know, want to have a, like put him to bed on his own. I don't feel that is my style. I don't want that. But on the other hand, I'm like, oh, wow, it's actually possible. And I didn't I didn't know that.
Mm. So. I think it also depends on the child. If some children are born with, you know, easier co-regulation themselves, or yeah. with just a little bit co-regulation, others need more co-regulation.
Yeah.
And I think what's very important is that you don't compare yourself to the examples online. Like, yeah. I don't know, I saw one time that a parent said, oh, just, you know, do like this, like just put your hands over the eyes and close them, and then they will sleep.
It actually works with us.
Okay, wow. I'm jealous. I'm like, are you freaking serious? That is like, and for, but yeah, you know, Ananda, she would cry out if I would do that. Like, it would be the opposite. It would have the opposite effect.
That is a good example.
Yeah, it's a very good
example. Yeah, he loves to have something over his eyes, and that's how my partner trained him.
It's so funny.
Yeah. And even when we start putting something on his eyes, like yeah. his eyes already close, and we don't have that, and I try to get rid of that, like I don't want him to have something over yeah. their eyes anymore. So we started doing that, and then you can see when he's tired, he's yeah. like closing his eyes, mm. and when he's not, like when he's, I'm like, okay, then he's probably not tired yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we do something, like we play a little bit more. And yeah, and I just remembered a really nice example, because we were in Fiji for our honeymoon, and I always thought the mother is bringing the child to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, always with your example, mm-hmm. but you have also a very specific example, I guess. how you do it. And we talked to a couple, and mm-hmm. or we didn't talk to them, but. We talked to them. Well, breathe. So we met this couple,
mm-hmm.
and there the mother and the father brought the baby to bed.
Mm-hmm.
He was 5 months at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Little Archie, he was super cute. And I was like, how is that possible that the father is bringing the baby to bed? Mm-hmm. Because I never thought about it.
Mm.
I never knew that it was even possible,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't have a lot of mom friends at the time. Mm. I never thought about it, to be honest. I was just like, okay, yeah, the boob, and then mm-hmm. the baby is falling to sleep. So that was the first time I'm like, oh, something else is also possible.
Mm.
And it actually works with us too. So mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I was like, okay, seeking for inspiration maybe, and trying, and we are lucky because it works.
And I think that's the most important point. It's like, okay, seeking help, even you can get professional help with different topics that are difficult with babies, but then trying out and seeing if it works for you, also for the parents.
Yeah.
I think it also needs to work for the parents, not only for the child. And then, if not, let it go and don't say, okay, something is yeah. wrong. Something is wrong with me or my yeah. child. Because in my instance, for example, all the things did not work. Like,
yeah.
everything I tried did not work. And then it's so important that I think we stay within ourselves and trust also our intuition to say, okay, it is, but I have something that works. and be grateful for that, and don't always listen to the outside noise. I think that's very important.
Yeah.
Listen for inspiration, but if it's not working for no one, then let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super important. Yeah, to feel what it does to you, and how it makes you feel, I guess. Mm. But also, I think it's a personality thing, because you get your inspiration oftentimes out of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mm-hmm. creation and all the vision. And mm-hmm. and I have another personality. I get, you know, inspired by other people and mm-hmm. from the outside world. So maybe it's also a little bit mm-hmm. of a personality thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also. I think so, too. Or maybe it's a combination, because I also like to seek assurance from outside, or, you know, but then I also use my spiritual connection or yeah. my intuition, and my ask in a meditative state what is the right thing to do or go forward. And then I think it's like with the online offline thing. I think it's so beautiful that we have it all, right? And then that we should use it all, and especially as a in combination. So actually, my new aim, what I would love to bring in the world, is this the sharing that you're talking about, like a sharing circle for moms, but then also a practice circle for moms where we practice to really listen to our own intuition, even though the other person might have said something else that worked for them, and then we can be open about it, but still like check in with ourselves again and see, does it really resonate with me, or am I responding out of, oh, I want this too, or I don't know, I fear that if I don't do this, something else will happen. So always this, the other and me, and how can I benefit from all sides?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think, yeah, this non-judgmental energy to create that is the most important thing, I guess, for moms. Because that's something we don't get in the, like, in the normal life, probably, because you get judged, or you get, like, unasked advice on every corner. And, yeah. I mean, in Australia, it's not as, or we're not in Australia, but in the area I live, it's not as bad, I would say. But I also got like unasked advice. I was like, okay, thank you for our cleaners who clean our house. And I had like three things in like 1 second. And yeah, I was like, okay, interesting. But it's, I think she just wanted to share whatever helped her. And I guess it comes from a really nice and from a loving perspective. But at that point, I was just not open for it. And I couldn't really receive whatever she said. But that was also, it was an experience. I think the non-judgmental zone, circle, space is very, very important. Because I'm in Byron, I'm in a postpartum circle, and I always think it is amazing how women can share, to be that vulnerable. I don't like that word, but you know what I mean. To talk about really like deep fears and challenges, and maybe also not so beautiful mom moments. Make them cry or feel guilty or whatever. And I found that so beautiful. And I would love for you to bring that to life in this kind of atmosphere, I would say. Hemisphere.
In this kind of hemisphere. I think what I've noticed now, that I went on a business retreat, but that was very personal and with a lot of moms actually present. Where I felt like we have this online connection. I'm in this year-long mastermind. And then we got to meet offline. And I think this is the beautiful combination to have it both. Because sometimes when we are in daily life, we can't meet every day, right? Even if we live close by. And then sometimes it's so good that we have those tools to check in online. Just send a voice message, because for me as a mom, it's the easiest thing to do. Just send a quick voice message when you can. But I think we need to allow ourselves as well to seek for support. And I think a lot of moms maybe don't even allow themselves to seek out for support or help. Maybe, especially if they fear to be judged.
And I think also in our generation, I would say, that we learn to do a lot of things on our own and independent and like the strong woman we are. And I'm very grateful that we got raised like that. But also it was also a bit of an unlearning again to seek help. And because my partner was at home in the beginning, and I was always like, now I need to do that by myself because at some point he's going back to work. So I'm, mm-hmm. you know, I'm mm-hmm. doing it by myself. And he always was asking me, he's like, I'm here. Why don't you ask for help? I was like, no, you know, I need to train. And it was so ridiculous. And he was always there, but for now I'm here. So maybe just take the help. And that was, yeah, it was such a hilarious moment, like in the hindsight. Yeah, it's yeah. just like, yeah. why didn't I just ask him to watch the baby for like 5 minutes? And then everything is a lot easier. so yeah, it's I think it's a lot of unlearning again when you got raised as a mm-hmm. strong, independent woman who was also an entrepreneur before becoming a mom, because I think that's what we learned, right? Like,
yeah,
being self-sustainable and mm-hmm. doing all the things by ourselves. And it's a huge, huge growing learning journey, I guess.
And it doesn't stop, really.
Nope, probably not. Now I can witness what happens when they are toddlers.
Ah, yeah, there's a new challenge coming. Yeah. Is he still asleep?
Yeah, he's moving, but I think as long as he's not.
This is real life recording why baby's sleeping.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, we've covered a lot of ground already. What is the one thing, not there's probably not one thing, but what has changed the most for you in becoming a mother?
I think caring for another human being made myself very humble. And also it connects to the point we were talking before, the being just by yourself.
But with another human that you need to look after.
Yeah, but now you cannot just do this 1 hour practice mm-hmm. and do the work I was doing before. It's mm-hmm. like, when do I start working again? Because at the moment I don't know. I could make it obviously possible, but that's not my main goal at the moment. But I think, yeah, being humble in that mm-hmm. regard, that everything changes. It's not like everything changes for the worse, but it's so beautiful. But also it's changing. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, learning to live with change, mm-hmm. I would say, mm-hmm. and being humble and surrender to what is. I think that started with, not with pregnancy, because my pregnancy was just the easiest journey.
But others will be jealous about that.
Yeah, but I would say birth.
Yeah.
Then there it started to surrender, to be patient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What mm-hmm. is that? Learning that mm-hmm. every day. And at the moment, I'm having this very easy baby, right? Like at the moment, you can see it. It's it's nice. He's having fun when he's awake. He sleeps when he should sleep. So at the moment, it's just like an easy ride. But in the beginning, obviously, it was different and it will change again. Mm. So surrender and learn the patience.
Because the changes don't end, right? It's like
it's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning. Yeah.
Yes.
It's just
a
change here again, and then mm-hmm. you try to fit and you try to make a plan around it, and then you ditch the plan again because it changed.
yeah, that is so true. It's like you make a change, a plan, and then also like we're talking about the sleep plan, right? And then it's like, oh yeah, he has to sleep then, or it would be good that he would sleep then.
It would be good, yeah.
And then it's like, okay, we change it. Be very flexible and still be okay, very easy. And I learned that I think since we are here, or since the journey, I'm just more relaxed with the sleep thing.
Yeah,
it was more in Australia, it was more like, oh no, I need to, bring him to sleep at that certain point because otherwise he's overtired or overstimulated. Yeah.
But I think I was forced into different environments and when Ananda was little, but I learned that everything is kind of possible and they can adjust.
Yeah.
Sometimes they need a little bit more co-regulation, But as long as they're with their mom and their dad or their parents or their main caregiver, they're happy.
Yeah.
And this is a big this was a big learning for me.
Yeah.
That they don't really care how the outside looks like.
And I learned with Ananda also that they are strong.
Yeah.
The babies are so strong.
So strong.
Sometimes stronger.
Stronger than us.
Yeah. And I also witnessed that with the journey. I think the bub did the most amazing job from all of us. Like, Johannes, okay, he was chill. But I was like, in the beginning, I was like, oh God, this is going to be such a huge thing. And in the end, it was actually not a big thing. But
when you flew from Australia to Europe.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying.
Because I think not everyone knows that.
No, but yeah, mom brain.
Oh, the mom brain. Don't get me started on that one. I'm just thinking of the time. Oh, what? Something I wanted to ask again on something else. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Now I know it again. Your practice, your spiritual practice. How do you do that now?
Just watching the monitor and he's playing with it below. I love that. But I don't think that he's crying. At least we would hear that, I think.
Yeah.
My spiritual practice, it's definitely different. It's not as expanded as it used to be. But my my breath work definitely helped me a lot in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because of, when the nervous system cannot switch off and you're just awake in the night, then I can regulate myself. So
what did you do then? Really, if you couldn't fall asleep back in the night?
I try to extend my breathing, especially the exhale, to really switch on the parasympathetic nervous system. So my system has the sign that it can switch off. And that it can relax. And also I I practice breath holds. Because in pregnancy, you're not supposed to do breath holds. Mm-hmm. But when you're postpartum, you can do it again. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And it really helped me to calm down and reconnect to what really matters. Mm-hmm. And then mostly I would fall asleep when I do the breath practices. Not always, obviously, but...
But it helped you.
Yeah, okay. But it helped me.
Nice.
And spiritual wise, it's not that easy. And I was talking to my doula about it because I felt in the first few months that obviously you feel a lot, but also not. Like you feel a little bit numb when it comes to, like, my partner also asks me, like, every week, what is your vision and where do you want to go and what do you want to do? And, I was like, depending on the baby, it's like, when he's happy, I'm happy. And I know that it's at some point it needs to grow out of it. So I'm envisioning again, but I really feel that it's not my time at the moment to be in that vision space and to be in that, where I want to go and what I want to do and blah, 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 blah. Because at the moment it was just keeping the baby safe and baby alive and baby happy. That was just my main goal for the last few months. And that has nothing to do with my mind. It's just nature, hey? It's just whatever my body and nature and is there. It's just like my goal, or not my goal, but my...
I think it's not only... I think it's the mother's... I also felt it because I think we're here to protect our children when they're most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And we feel that. We can't... I also felt like there's nothing else I can concentrate on.
Yeah.
I just physically can't. I can't put my brain to thinking more than ahead than the next sleep.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know when that changed, but probably...
It will change.
It will change at some point. It changed somewhere along her... Between 2 and 3, I would say.
Yeah.
But even until 2, I was like, how can a mother give their child away even under 1? I can't, because I think physically it must hurt. And I feel so sorry for mothers who actually have to do it because of different reasons. Because I think we're physically wired to be close to our children, and we're not allowed to think about the future. I mean, we can force ourselves, but I think it's not supposed to be in our nature. And it doesn't mean that it's not coming back, right? But I think that's also our modern mind, like we're supposed to be ambitious and which is, I think, coming back naturally. Like for me, it came back naturally after some point, after getting out of the survival mode. I think we should allow ourselves to really be mothers. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge problem in our generation. Maybe it's coming, I think it's coming back in our generation.
Yeah.
But especially if you're ambitious, as you said as well, and or were ambitious before. Yeah. Beforehand. Yeah. And really allowing ourselves to be in this present. I mean, the most spiritual thing you can do is being present, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're forced to being present as a mother, right?
Yeah. You have no other choice, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. But still, when I think, yeah, that's nature doing its thing, because you're so wired to the little one. And I like that it comes naturally, that it will open up again, you know, that you have different interests again. And everyone probably has their own timing. And I think also maybe some women have that earlier.
Maybe, yeah.
But not for me. And not for you, obviously, but everyone has their own time.
And I think it comes back to you. Does it come out of your own deep intuition, or does it come out of fear?
Yeah.
I think it all comes back to that, right?
Yeah.
Do you deeply, really feel like you want to create again? Go out there, leave your child, no, without judgment? Or do you do it out of fear because you think you have to, or society says you have to, or you because of money, or like, I think that's the biggest thing out there. And it always comes back to that. This is so important. I need to remember this.
Yeah, I think just acting out of love is super important. And okay, my baby is definitely awake, and I think I need to get him because he's on the move from the bed.
So funny. How can he be so happy when waking up? This is crazy. So amazing.
Yeah.
We have a happy baby, but who's awake? So thank you for listening. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It was amazing to talk to you again.
And when your nudge comes back again, then we will definitely hear a lot about how to use breath work when you're pregnant or a new mom.
That's my thing. I can't wait to share that. So, yeah, that's good.
Follow you on your new Instagram profile if you haven't yet. I will put it in the show notes. Yes. Anything else you want to add?
Oh, thank you so much for your work and your new direction now, and inspiring so many new people, but also our old community.
Yes.
So thank you for taking care of them. Bye-bye.